Next is in re application for permit to carry a handgun. May we please have appearances of counsel? Good afternoon, counsel. Welcome. I don't know that we will get beyond Mr. Knappen. We're going to break at around 12:30. Hopefully, we'll conclude your argument. And then we'll pick up after a half hour.
May it please the court. Your honors have limited the question that's before us today to whether a person who has been approved for a permit to carry by his police chief gets a hearing before and a denial is issued by a judge. The present petitioner received no judicial hearing or even notice that his application was objected to until he received the denial. The statute at issue, NJS 2C58-4, does not say that the applicants do not get a hearing. It specifically does talk more about what happens when a police chief denies that an opportunity shall be provided for a hearing if he so wishes. However, the statute also does put forth and anticipate, you can see, under 2C58-4F, that which mandates that a permit may be revoked after a hearing upon notice to the holder. And that's effectively what's happening here, is that the permit has been approved by a police chief. It's a two-tier process. It goes to the judge for issuance. Before that gets issued, but after approval, apparently there's some objection or concern and it gets denied. But that's the equivalent of a revocation of what the police chief has approved. So under 58-4F, there is that opportunity and it mandates that there be notice to the holder that he has that opportunity for that hearing. It is basic due process is what I'm arguing here. Due process of the two parts of due process, notice and opportunity to be heard. I guess you could include fundamental fairness as part of that as well. But under the notice requirement, you would say, please tell me if somebody's going to object to this permit, I should know before a decision is made on it. And the second part, the opportunity to address what's been alleged as a reason to deny this permit. As I said, it's a two-tier process in that sense. The chief is mandated, the police chief, when he receives an application to thoroughly investigate and ascertain if the applicant has any disqualifiers and whether or not he demonstrates justifiable need. And the disqualifiers could be various. Under 58.3, it's referenced in parent materia, the potential disqualifiers, not to mention qualifications for firearms, whether he's qualified and can safely handle in that sense. So it's not just whether or not he shows or she shows justifiable need. It could be a variety of reasons why it's being objected to or not going to be, or the judge who's looking at this after an approval has questions. After the chief thoroughly investigates the permit, and in this case, approves, that chief's determination would remain unrebutted if a judge were not to hear from that chief as to why he issued it, why he agreed that it should be issued, why he approved it. And that is coming from even the cases where we do have on carry permits, Sicardi, Price. Chiefs are expected to discuss applications with the applicants and provide a pre-decision conference, and this is the quote here, not only to inform the applicant of the reasons for a denial, but to afford the applicant an opportunity to convince the chief by submission of additional information and informal discussion. So not everything is going to be in that application because there may have been some discussion going on as to reasons why that are not black and white on a paper That's me adding that. The rest of that quote is to change his or her view. And I've come across in my practice various times when that is the case. I have seen changes. In this case, you should recognize the change in law that went from you could show under the Christie administration serious threats. Then it became codified later when this applicant was preparing his application in 2016, it was serious threats could be permissible as a showing. Then it became codified that you must show specific threats. Well, he got denied for not showing specific threats or in that sense. So to show why he needs this permit, he wasn't given an opportunity for the hearing. He was given no notice after his application was submitted that could happen. But that's not the only scenario where that could happen. I have a situation under witness protection.
Mr. Knapp,
yes.
Is the relief you're seeking a hearing in the Superior Court?
Notice and a hearing, correct. A hearing, but yes. That is the relief I'm seeking
You're familiar with the directive that Director Grant issued in May of this year?
Yes, I am.
That would seem to accord a hearing if this matter were taking place right now?
I thought you were referring to the AG directive that talks about, if that's the directive you're referring to.
Number 0619.
From May 20th, 2019 by Judge Grant, Directive 0619.
I'd have to see if that's the same one we're discussing, that's the one I'm looking at. If that's the one I'm thinking of, it talks about that if a judge has any questions regarding whether he should grant it,
that's the one.
Then he should have a hearing. But that...
If we sent this back for a hearing, mm-hmm. consistent with the directive, would your requests be satisfied?
If it's along with the notice as to why. Now, in this particular case, we did receive afterwards a decision saying what it was as to why it was denied. That's not always the case in all cases.
Are you asking for?
Just in terms of judicial economy, what of that whole statute is it that the judge...
You're looking for some ability to prepare for the hearing. The notice you're talking about is really an explanation of the denial so that you can prepare for the hearing.
Correct.
And provide witnesses if necessary.
That's it.
That's
the type of notice I'm talking about. Yeah, a notice of what is it that's being objected to so we can focus that
Why wouldn't that be hammered out at the hearing itself? And if you need more time to present, come with a witness, you're expecting the Superior Court judge to lay out for you in advance the possible concerns the judge may have?
This is an interesting scenario because we're getting where it's that in who's objecting to the permit, because after the chief has approved it, the objection is apparently coming to granting it from a judge. You're acting in an administrative fashion.
That's not really an objection. That's a denial.
It's a denial.
So it's kind of a major objection.
It's not, but
you don't need a notice that somebody's objecting because it doesn't appear that anybody is objecting. Any party is objecting.
And so the record that's before him is unrebutted from a police chief saying that this should be approved.
Well, you got a written opinion from Dan. You may disagree with it. You may feel that you didn't get processed before him, but he gave you his reasons for denying.
And I appreciate that this case that he did after the fact. Now he has to appeal, but we don't have a record with which to be an advocate to say what should be.
That's a different issue.
Right now, as you stand there, you know what the judge's concerns are.
With no opportunity to amend that record, to provide something in that record.
Hold up a second. There's nothing mysterious about what the judge's concerns are, right?
Well, the mystery is why he found that was not the case after...
If you got a hearing and you have the information already, the mystery would be not only resolved, but you'd have an opportunity to put on
and I'm not saying that it has that he would have the opportunity if he so wished. If my client or similar situated individuals felt, you got me, I really don't have any answer to this.
Tell us what you expect from a hearing in this case. Do you intend to call witnesses? And if you do, What type of witnesses do you intend to call?
His employer, the police chief who agreed that this should be issued. Those are two ones, not to mention my client himself, who would most likely take the stand and explain the types of threats that he faces. Other additional documents that would show the serious as well as specific threats that have occurred in his field.
Explain why.
In his position of what
Counselor, why don't you listen to the chief's question for a minute? Take a deep breath.
Explain why you would be permitted to call the police chief. I gather the police chief has no personal knowledge. The police chief made a decision based on information that was presented. How is this different from a municipal court judge making a ruling and then the matter going up to the Superior Court for a de novo review? Could either side call the municipal court judge as a witness?
It's different in terms of the person who is reviewing that and made findings himself.
Made findings based on materials presented, not as a fact witness of sorts, right?
Well, he's the determinator of not a fact witness in that sense, of his community stand. If it goes, when they talk about the carry permits, they're issued with the community in mind of the police chief saying what his needs are for that.
The chief of police is actually called. Tell me if I'm mistaken about this in terms of practice. Mm-hmm. When the chief of police denies a permit at a hearing, tell me if I'm mistaken, the chief of police is actually called as a witness.
He is in firearm permit appeal, firearm permit.
When there's a denial, he's called to the stand.
Correct.
To give his reasons why he denied the permit.
That's right.
You want to call him to the stand to see why he permitted.
It would seem only right for the same way.
Now, one of the things the chief might have, I have no idea, is what threats movie theaters within his jurisdiction are presented, and whether or not his police force is able to actually meet those threats, given the size of his police force. No,
I think you stated it perfectly there. That is exactly what it talks about in the community of which that police chief resides and controls. It discusses that the statutes and the case law discuss that aspect of what is needed for his ability. It's not only that for this case, that is one of the aspects. Whatever else he may be doing in his, he meaning my client or any other client, in his capacity of a security guard.
If the chief of police gave you a piece of paper that said, here's the reason for the denial, would you need to summon the chief as a witness? Would there be a reason to call the chief as a witness?
For a denial from a police chief. That's already, you already get the hearing. I'm sorry, now you're asking me would he get an opportunity to call him in?
I have found that all of the requirements have been met. Why do you get to call the chief of police?
Well,
what does that add?
It's in the statute, first off, in terms of how this substitutes for the adversarial aspect that you're before. Who is it that I am now going against somebody who's now denying my permit?
Who calls in a denial? I think you already said the chief is called.
The chief is called.
Who calls the chief? Is it the state or the applicant?
It says that this shall be, typically the state brings them in as their representative for why the chief did what they did in the permit appeals that I've had.
So there's a question of symmetry. You would want to have the same opportunity when the case goes the other way.
Correct. That's the way I look at it in terms of as to why did you approve this? Why did you feel, situation in this, it's an allegation that chief did not do his thorough investigation and come up with a proper reasoning why this should have been granted, why he decided to grant this.
Are you suggesting there's almost a presumption that because the police chief granted it, that presumption must be overcome before the Superior Court judge can deny it?
I'm just thinking through it.
I asked that question because in subsection D, when we're talking about the court's responsibility to review mm-hmm. an approved application, it says the court shall issue the permit if but only if it is satisfied. It seems to impose at least an equal and standing alone obligation to be satisfied that the reasons for granting a permit have been satisfied here.
Okay, and I think that it's important for that judge to hear why the police chief believed it, and if there's other concerns that the court has, mm-hmm. that he says, in fact, there was one, it's unpublished, and I don't want to talk about things that way, that was just sent back because through the same courthouse this way, but was remanded back, as opposed to where we are now, because there was a question as to the underlying facts of arrests of a bounty hunter. Okay, a bounty hunter, and they said, what's going on here? And these arrests, that should be looked at. Mm-hmm. And it was an approval that went up, and then it was remanded. And that's what I'm basically saying here. It needs that hearing, and in judicial economy, that hearing should happen without it going up and bouncing back.
I want to be clear in your position, though. You're not arguing that every time a police chief grants an application and it goes up to the Superior Court, beyond what the AOC directive says, there is an obligation to hold a hearing for the Superior Court.
Not if it's being approved, there's no need for a hearing, that's for sure. It's going up with all the understanding of the applicant sending it up for approval. My client did not know he was denied until several weeks after that, when he finally got a copy of that decision, when it came down afterwards. His expectation was it was going to be approved. If at some point the court decides there's an issue here that I have, that issue should be addressed with a hearing. And the way I look at this is, and I do appreciate that the adversary does see hearings as part of this, but what I see is not that it's, I read the may have a hearing, meaning my client, the applicant, may request a hearing when he's given, as we just heard, the reasons or the issue, the concern that the court has as to why not to grant it.
If we were to view this as an administrative action, there's not necessarily an obligation to have an adversarial hearing. The decision gets made, it can be appealed to the appellate division. And we have in our court rules the flexibility for the court to determine that a hearing to elaborate on the record is necessary, and the appellate division can remand when that situation occurs. It prevents the need for unnecessary hearings when perhaps there is no evidential adversarial need for that kind of a record.
If I could address that aspect. I was looking at the different ways that people were saying that. A motion for reconsideration is not good if you don't know what the reason is, why you're actually, what are you asking them to reconsider? You don't even know what the specific is often in these. A reapplication is not an answer either, because he would forever have to mention that denial on his further applications. He is prejudiced in that way.
Understood. But deal with my scenario.
Your scenario, where then it, I think that's where we're hitting to an appeal, basically, on
what
record.
Goes up to the appellate division, and if you point out that there's a need for an evidential hearing, a record that needs to be developed beyond what is present and capable of being reviewed, goes back to the Superior Court.
Well, that didn't happen here. That didn't happen in this very case.
I understand that, but I'm looking for different possible avenues of relief here.
There's an urgent, the person who applies for a carry permit is facing an urgent need. Mm-hmm. So that makes things a little different, okay? Not just employment, but possibly because the urgent need beyond employment, those types of people are facing threats. Mm-hmm. And they're putting that forth. So that is a longer process than which he or she should have to wait if they are facing threats that they need a carry permit. So there is an urgency there.
I take it your argument is sort of a parity argument. You have a right to a hearing if you're denied a permit, and if you're approved, you don't want to be denied by the Superior Court without the same sort of hearing that you would have been entitled to if the chief had denied it in the first place.
Correct. And that's why I said it's not only due process, it's fundamental fairness in that sense. It's that.
Has that been addressed by the directive?
I don't think so, to the point that the directive, if I recall correctly, talks about only concerning what's been presented in the application is what's allowed. But I think that it should be anything that's basically being objected to should be allowed, or, and I use that term broadly, I know, it's not
the
best term.
Respectfully, I think it's the wrong term. This is a ruling. You don't have an adversary who's objecting, you have a judge who's ruling against you.
And that's why it's like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. It's like a motion to revoke in that sense. The ruling has not come down.
Do you have the directive in front of you, sir?
I don't. It's in my.
What part of it is it that it doesn't provide for what you're seeking right now? From what I've heard since you started,
I believe that does not discuss. I believe that did not go into the fact that, or it did go, that it said it had to be based on solely on what was being.
Here's the key language, I think, in section 4. Yeah. If a court has any questions regarding the applicant or his or her permit to carry application, it must hold a hearing to address those questions.
And it's saying if it has any questions, it must do that. But that doesn't say that if it's just going to deny straight out, it doesn't give the opportunity to the applicant to request a hearing to be heard.
Would you agree a sensible way to read this is that if the court were inclined to deny, that suggests that it has some questions and it should conduct a hearing?
I would think
were interpreted in that way, would that satisfy the arguments that you're presenting?
That he shall, if the court intends to deny, then there shall be a hearing. Is that basically what I'm, is that a
or inclined, I believe, is the chief's language.
Look, it says a hearing provides the applicant with an opportunity to clear up any questions or concerns that the court may have. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that you can get a hearing. Now, this is a very unusual situation where below it was denied, it was approved, and here it was denied. Court gave reasons for its findings, and I think what the new directive does is it gives you the ability to argue why you should have the permit.
And it didn't happen for my client.
Well, that's because this didn't exist.
Right. And that's a directive, not necessarily.
Yeah, but we are the directive.
Yes.
Now, I didn't mean that the way it sounded, but this comes from the court.
Yeah.
Mr. Knappen, what kind of a hearing is required? Is an evidentiary hearing always necessary? Is it enough to simply have oral argument, presentation by proffer? Where should the line be drawn?
I have no problem with it being the type of hearing that we've had in these cases already, that evidence may be presented, evidentiary, because a lot of these are evidentiary in that sense. That I'm trying to break it down. That you have to provide, like something raises something you haven't shown me, attacks that have happened. And you provide that evidence to say, here's the police reports, here's the news articles, here's the things that have happened to show that. So it's evidentiary in that sense.
Are these hearings rather brief? The chief gets on the stand, the applicant gets on the stand. Tell me if I'm mistaken.
They take longer than one day of where you're hearing.
An entire day?
I mean, what I'm trying to say is I've never had to appear twice than once the actual hearing happens in that sense. They bring it in that sense. In terms of tremendous amount, if the person is bringing in factual witnesses to what's happening in terms of how he's being threatened or attacked, and that's why I need it.
Going back to the chief's question of this, like a sensible interpretation of that line, if a court has any questions, and if added to that were concerning whether to grant the permit, it must hold the hearing. That's what you're looking for?
That sounds about right.
You don't want a confident judge who has no questions and is inclined to deny not to have a hearing. That's the concern that you're voicing.
Any person should have the opportunity to
understood.
Be heard as to why he believes he's entitled.
Is it necessary to call witnesses at a hearing in all cases?
I don't think that it's necessary in all cases that you'd have to always call a witness, because I think there are times when you can provide a document that that's judicially noticeable, such as a judgment. We question somebody, for instance, what's the reason? We don't know whether you've actually gotten this a mental health expungement. That could just be provided.
Would be helpful and cut down the need for hearing if these applications are really fulsome. Now, I saw, like, the chief of police had a very short paragraph. The applicant should know, and chief of police should know, what's necessary to justify the grant of a carry permit. All the bells and whistles should be there, don't you think?
Yeah.
That might cut down on the need for these hearings.
And that is why I said that I'd like the focus to be on what exactly is being questioned, that notice of what is being at issue, and then the opportunity to address that.
That's a little more problematic, though, isn't it? That's saying that the judge has to tell you want a hearing to give to have the chance to put on an evidentiary presentation, and you're asking for the judge to give you notice ahead of time of what the problems might be.
You're just asking for
what the denial, the findings of fact made by the judge, like they're made in every court, in a non-jury case, and the rest, and the reasons, the conclusions of law to deny the permit. You're asking for something in writing that tells you what the findings of facts were and what the conclusions of law were so you can address it.
The same way that is required of a police chief and a firearm permit to purchase a firearm, where they say, based on 58, and this is the same thing, 58.3C3, you've had some past drug issues, we need that to be addressed.
I thought you wanted the hearing before the judge prejudged the case.
I am. No, I'm just giving the, I'm trying to address.
I understand that, that's the police chief. We're talking about the judge here who's going to review this. Do you really want the judge to make some sort of fact findings before your hearing?
What the concern is regarding.
I'm puzzled by this. You get a denial.
Right.
You get a grant. You want a hearing. If the judge isn't, at that point, if you've had a denial, you want a hearing. If you have won at the level of the police chief, you want a hearing if the court
right.
has questions about whether to grant.
Right.
Beyond the court saying, I'm giving you a hearing, what are you asking for in advance of the hearing?
I'd be okay with a hearing, as you said, but I think it makes proper sense to tell me what it is that, what subsection or what aspect of this.
Is that good strategy? just to say to the judge, tell me why you're kind of inclined. I think you're probably going to turn me down, so why don't you spend some time and set forth the reasons to turn me down before you have a chance to come in on a clean slate and make your record.
I don't mind a clean slate, as I said. I was trying, looking at the
judicial economy.
I think it's a good
thing for a lawyer, isn't it?
Of him coming in, that's perfectly fine, coming in, and then it's a clean slate as to why he deserves
this. It's not that complicated a standard. You put on your proofs as to each aspect of it.
And I've done that, and I've also
come in. I'm sure
you
did very well.
And I've had both. I've had him where I come in and we work through the entire, these are all of his qualifications, and that's why, are there any objection? I've also come in where, look, the state basically says, and the government says, the only issue we have is justifiable need. We need to focus on that. I see all the other qualifications. He's good.
The judge, at the hearing, the judge may very well start off the hearing by saying, these are the concerns that I have. Would you please address them?
Right.
And then you go ahead and do that.
Right. And then there are some times where I have to go up and I have to present, work through all the 58.3 disqualifiers and what it is and why he's deserving of everything, the full.
Doesn't it make sense to leave that to the discretion of the judge? There's not a constitutional issue hovering over this.
Only if he has the opportunity to present it. Otherwise, then he has an opportunity to be heard and present his case at that point. Then there's a record being made.
You come in prepared on everything, and then if you're told at the beginning, I only have one problem, you can send a lot of your witnesses home and have a nice one-hour hearing.
That would be right, bring a rebuttal witness to that effect or something like that.
But you have that in this case. You have the judge's two-page.
And that is after he's without being told. That was the decision.
Right.
Without ever having that hearing that we're talking about that he gets because he had concerns as to not to grant it.
But that's your reason for wanting a hearing.
Correct.
Because you want to be able to rebut some of the findings that he had. That he made.
Hopefully before the findings are made, that we can have an address what it is the concerns are, if he has those concerns.
Well, they're in, you're talking broadly, but in this case, he's given the reasons for his concerns.
For this case, I would want a remand for him to address those concerns.
Right.
But in general, if my client had been given a hearing after the approval from the police chief, but before the judge made a decision as to the fact that he had concerns, which is what is being raised there. So in other words,
I think we have your position.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's take a 30-minute break.
Yep.
We'll come back for
Thank you.
The remaining arguments.